ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Look around you. Every object has a purpose, but some also have a story. Over generations, humans have crafted tools that are so efficient, so perfectly suited to their task, they fade into the background until you stop and really look. Welcome to Extraordinary Everyday, where we uncover the hidden stories in plain sight. I'm Anthony Burke. They're convenient, lightweight, and environmentally disastrous. For years, no weekly shop was complete without them. You'd leave the supermarket carrying armfuls of thin plastic, barely giving it a second thought. I'm talking about plastic bags. Once hailed as an innovative, almost miraculous material, they've since taken on something closer to villain status. So, where do plastic bags come from, and what role do they play in our lives now? Emeritus Professor Gay Hawkins is from the Institute of Culture and Society at Western Sydney University and is the author of Plastic Water, a book looking at the history of our use of plastics. Hi, Gay. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, Anthony.
So let's start at the beginning. What did we use before plastic bags?
Well, we used paper, we used cloth, we wrapped things in newspaper. We used a whole lot of basically, I would say, far more sustainable materials. But once the organisation of shopping shifted to self-service in the 1930s, then goods had to be wrapped in order to protect them from hygiene concerns and the like. And they started to be wrapped in cardboard and cellophane. But then as plastic production increased during the 20th century and really escalated after World War II, plastic rapidly became the preferred packaging material, and it very rapidly became what we would call the skin of commerce.
Yeah, wow. That's a kind of a terrifying phrase there. There's so many implications behind that.
The bag hadn't been invented yet. Supermarkets had arrived. Everything had to be containerized, and a lot of that material was plastic. But in America particularly, and it's hard to say, probably in Australia as well, the evidence here is really sort of scarce. People would be taking their shopping home from the supermarket in boxes or paper carton bags that we'd all be familiar with in the US. So they weren't taking home their shopping, even though it might have been wrapped in plastic, containerized in plastic. They weren't taking it home in a plastic bag.
All right. So when did the plastic bag arrive in that space?
Well, it was invented in Sweden in 1962. That's the first patent, when a Swedish inventor called Sten Tullen figured out how to die-cut handles into a tube of polyethylene and then heat seal the bottom. So you then got this, what was called the T-shirt bag. It looked like a sleeveless T-shirt, very easy to make. And it had the folds on the side so it could expand. And that, in many senses, exemplified the miracle of plasticity in a way. It could expand to give form to whatever was put into it. But more than that, they were light and, as you said in your intro, incredibly strong. They were spreading around Europe in the 60s. In the 70s, Mobil, the great petrochemical company, saw them and thought, wow, we need to bring them into America. That's a new market that we could develop for plastic products. And they spent a long time trying to convince American supermarkets to shift from paper bags to plastic bags.
Oh, so there was some resistance, some pushback?
There was resistance, partly because the supermarkets said, oh, everyone loves their paper bags.
Yeah.
And that was true. But, I mean, there was resistance also because, I guess, when you look at the spread of plastic throughout commerce and everyday life, an immense amount of persuasion had to be engaged in to substitute already well-functioning materials for plastic. It was a substitute material. It had to replace other perfectly functional materials. So the plastic companies just engaged in a massive amount of PR marketing persuasion of the supermarkets until eventually they undercut paper on price. And in the 70s, Walmart shifted to plastic bags.
Before we step onto how we get to Australia with that, I mean, what was the sales pitch there? Like that marketing kind of conversation, was it really around strength or was it around cost or, you know, what was the real sort of home run that eventually got Walmart, for example, over the line?
Look, I think it was a combination of all those things.
Yeah.
One element was that you could print onto the plastic bag, so you could put marketing on the bag. Another element was that they said to supermarkets, give them out for free. People will feel like they're getting a free gift at the end of their shop. But, I mean, within the plastics industry, there was a huge realization in the 1950s that plastic had to change its marketing and application strategies because it was a hugely durable material. Initially in the 30s, marketed as better than nature, it will never break down. And then you
Sweet irony.
Yeah. And then you get this massive transformation in the 50s where the industry says, we have to convince people that plastic is destined for the garbage can, that it is a throwaway material. And light thermoplastics like polyethylene helped realize that because they're light, they're flimsy, they're ephemeral. It feels easy to sort of chuck them out. And a whole lot of other products were sweeping onto the market, like plastic straws. So people were learning, you know, to engage in a practice of single use after being brought up on frugality and careful reuse. So we had to be trained to become disposable,
wow,
to learn to be comfortable with disposability. I would say that plastic redesigned humans.
I mean, there was a big environmental kind of upswell there, and particularly around oil, right?
Definitely. But the bag sort of banning, the bag paranoia, the bag outrage doesn't start until about the end of the 1990s.
Right.
Plastic bags have hit Australia in 1977
okay,
in supermarkets. We loved them. But by the 1990s, they were just totally demonised.
What was the impact of that in terms of the way that it started to have a larger, you know, environmental impact? Did we see that impact at that stage or that was later?
Initially, no. And I think one of the reasons why it emerged was that they just started to accumulate. People started to see them as litter everywhere they went. They're in trees, they're in gutters, you sit on a park bench, there's a huge plastic bag full of plastic packaging in it. So they became very quickly a litter problem. And then I think as the environmental movement escalated and plastic became a huge target because of the Pacific plastics gyre and, you know, massive global attention paid to the accumulation of plastic in the environment, bags were singled out as one of the main culprits. And then you get environmental movements in Australia around ban the bag.
Yeah. So, and at that point too, was the actual design of the bag fairly consistent from where it started? Was it more or less the same?
Yes. I mean, if you think of those bags now that you see, they're pretty much the same as when they were first designed. It was a very efficient design.
So what about the bags we've got now in online shopping and so on that claim to be biodegradable?
Yes.
Is there any substance to that claim?
Look, I'm not an expert on that, but it's certainly debatable because one of the things about plastic is that you need a huge amount of chemical additives like plasticizers to make them realize their full material potential to be super tough or to be dark or whatever colorizes. So the question is, when they break down, what's happening to all those chemicals that are embedded in that material? The other thing is that they're not so easy to break down in a home composting system because they need very high levels of heat.
And the plastic bag, as we're sort of suggesting, is the fall guy for a much bigger issue.
Yes.
So talk me through that relationship between the bag and then what is the big space that we're really talking about here?
Well, look, we're really talking about the fact that the plastics industry has not been held to account for its environmental impacts. And they are equivalent to climate change in terms of the global environmental crisis that we're facing, loss of biodiversity, climate change, and plastic accumulation, which is out of control. You know, those are huge, catastrophic environmental problems. And the focus in so much of the environmental activism around plastic bags has for too long been on individual consumers.
Yeah, it's on us, isn't
it? There's so little.
Change your habits because that'll save the world.
Exactly.
Actually, just stop making the damn plastic bag.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to get the picture here too that you're kind of not really saying that plastics per se are evil. Rather, the way we use plastics has been the problem.
Absolutely. We cannot live without plastic. It has transformed the 20th century. It's transformed housing design. Look at plumbing. Look at hospitals and the substitution of plastics, sort of single-use plastics in hospitals. They are, to me, legitimate uses. But there are so many uses where it could so that function could so easily be done with a more sustainable or reusable material. So eliminating single-use plastics is a really important target.
Yeah. And so how many plastic bags do you think would still be in circulation?
Big
number.
I think I had figures on that. There's still something like millions used every minute.
Every minute?
Yeah, globally.
Wow. So with all of that in mind, the future of the plastic bag, you're not seeing it disappear anytime soon, but that's the goal.
Definitely.
Should I be hopeful?
Yes, always be hopeful.
Okay, I like that. It's one of those everyday items that you think is sort of benign, started off with the best of intentions perhaps, but as soon as we realised that it was no good, we've been a long time changing our behaviour to get rid of it, and this is the fight that goes on.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, the fight continues. Thank you so much, Gay, for talking to us this afternoon and giving us that little history.
Thanks a lot.
Emeritus Professor Gay Hawkins is from the Institute of Culture and Society at the University of Western Sydney. Now, we mostly celebrate the way human ingenuity makes our lives better. But plastic bags show that making things easier doesn't always come without some serious repercussions. Can you think of any other design invention that is both a wonder and a disaster at the same time? As always, we're keen to hear from you by design at abc.net.au. Angela in Toronto sent us a wonderful email in response to our episode on washing machines. Her parents bought a Victorian home in England in the 1960s. It still had many original features, including the laundry. She says there was a laundry tub with water taps, a copper, and an enormous black Yorkshire range to heat the water. Fantastic. And if you've missed the ep on washing machines, you'll find it on ABC Listen.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.